Businesses thrive by knowing customer insights, because today's insights are tomorrow's facts. At iResearch, we live and breathe insights. And despite searching high and low, we were unable to find a customer insights podcast that answers one of the most important questions in business. Why do customers do what they do? So we launched one. Hi, I'm your host, Darshan Mehta.
On this episode, I am joined by Ross Franklin. Ross is an entrepreneur, best-selling author, and a highly sought-after keynote speaker with over two decades of experience building prestigious brands within the health and wellness industry. He is the founder of Pure Green and is the CEO of Pure Green Franchise, one of the fastest-growing juice bar franchises in the United States. Pure Green is a juice bar franchise that has over 100 locations open or in development across 15 different states. The company's products include made-to-order superfood smoothies, acai bowls, and cold-pressed juice. Welcome, Ross. I'm looking forward to talking to you.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me on the show.
So you've had quite a storied entrepreneur journey, and I'm curious, what are the aha moments that have inspired you to transition from the fitness industry to finding Pure Green?
What a question. Yeah. So for me, let me backtrack a little bit. So for me, my background is in fitness, and I used to own my own gym, sold it, and started a consulting company. And I was consulting for opening up high-end gyms all over the United States, got into all the specialty boutique gyms, yoga studios, Pilates studios, and finally juice bars. And this was the aha moment, right? After doing these big box health clubs, I finally came to the realization that when you look at optimal health, which I've always focused on, gone to anti-aging seminars, I've always focused on optimal health, I realized that 80% of getting results, you know, it's the 80-20 rule, the Pareto principle, 80%, the bulk, has to do with nutrition. And so that for me was the aha moment. And I realized that, look, these big box gyms, like, look, this is great, but what I need to focus on is the nutritional component. And so it was that aha moment that led me to create Pure Green.
Nice. I'm going to take a step back here a little bit further. So what got you into fitness, you know, early on?
So I've always been fascinated with fitness. I've always been an athlete. High school was on a wrestling team, started a weightlifting club in high school. I was trained teachers, principals. And I've always had that fascination with just physical fitness. And right out of college, and even throughout college, I got my personal training license and was training clients right out of college, managing a huge gym in New York City. And so just going all the way back, was always interested in fitness.
What's interesting though, even though you were into fitness, that, and I think it's a point that you and I have kind of talked about, I'm amazed at how much lack of knowledge there is about nutrition in general. So you didn't really actually think much about nutrition at the time. You were just into fitness. Is that correct?
That's right. I mean, nutrition was on my mind through wrestling because you had to cut weight and make weight class. But in the respect of just nutrition for optimal health, that really didn't come on until a lot later.
Interesting. And where did you make the transition from fitness to pursuing optimal health?
All throughout fitness, you know, I think the two are intertwined, you know, just from being in the personal training industry and, you know, coaching clients and getting them in the best shape of their life. So nutrition certainly has a role. So just over the years, learning more and more and just gaining more knowledge and kind of shifting my belief systems. And, you know, over time, it just became really apparent. I had to question myself, you know, why am I so focused on fitness? And my goal has always been, when you look at the mainstream population, you know, there's so much misinformation out there, especially with nutrition. How do you shift people toward a healthier lifestyle? How do you shift people's belief systems? How do you teach them and educate them on what optimal health is? And so that's always been on my mind. And as I gained more and more knowledge, it became clear that my path, you know, I need something scalable. I need something that I can really shift people's educational and belief systems toward optimal health, toward proper nutrition, educating people on the benefits of superfoods. And, you know, until I fully understood it, that's why it didn't hit me until later on.
Yeah. You talked about doing these big box fitness centers. And I think people need to realize these are really big gyms, right? I mean, how big are we talking about here? I think many people are probably familiar with some of these gym names as well, right?
Oh, yeah. I mean, right out of college, I was at the Ford Center, Chelsea Piers, 250,000 square feet. Most of the gyms I was doing thereafter, 40,000 square feet, 50,000 square feet. Massive gyms, massive infrastructure, very complicated, very difficult for your typical entrepreneur to go in and operate, right? So not equipped for a franchise model, in my view. And so I knew I needed something that's much more scalable in order to reach many more people.
Right. And then I guess, did you all see that you saw all these people working away, laboring away, sweating and stuff, but they weren't getting the results they wanted? Is that what led to the aha moment about nutrition for you?
Yeah, you know, that definitely played a role. I saw people training 4 or 5 times a week with a personal trainer, but didn't change their nutritional habits, still eating processed foods and not getting the optimal results. And it's because, you know, personal trainers are limited to what they can talk about with nutrition. A lot of them do it anyways, but they have kind of their own skewed beliefs as well. But for me, like, one thing is apparent, which is the benefits of superfoods, and superfoods being defined as certain foods that have a disproportionate amount of nutrients compared to other foods. So we talk about like raw cacao, which is the raw form of chocolate, right? If you ever hear of, you know, when you have chocolate, it releases the same chemicals in your brain as when you're in love, the endorphins. That's really only true of chocolate in its unprocessed form, which is raw cacao. And so when I discovered all of these superfoods, I realized that incorporating this in someone's diet in a way that tastes good, in a way that really appeals to the mainstream population. So Pure Green, we formulated all of our products to have unparalleled taste and be focused on high performance superfood nutrition. And that's the way to reach the masses.
Interesting. You said there's a lot of misinformation. What would you say are the top 3 myths or misinformation that exists out there? And that, how have you learned to overcome them to get people to also share this aha moment and get on this nutrition pursuit?
So if you think about nutrition, there's always another fad diet, right? You know, you have the low carb craze, the keto craze. For a while, this low fat phase. It always seems like there's another fad diet that's in, that's out. And if you think about it, like, why are these fad diets like rotating in, rotating out? There's all types of bad science coming in. And there's just so much confusion within the nutritional industry. People just don't know what to do and they get very frustrated. They get on a diet, they maybe get results for a little bit, right? It's typically because they're restricting calories. And then after that, they gain the weight back. And so what I've come to learn is just teach people about the benefits of nutrition, the benefits of superfood, the benefits also, I believe, in balance. You know, just stay away from processed foods and focus on balance and take on a nutritional habit that you could stick to. That's my philosophy.
Interesting. And so I think part of what you're talking about is also discipline, right? People need to have discipline. I'm curious, how have you helped people overcome one, changing their nutritional perspective, but also having the discipline and ultimately sticking with it?
Well, I think with some of these bad diets, I mean, they're so strict. It's cutting out so much and it takes away all the fun of eating. And I think that's why people fall off the wagon. What I believe is really helpful is having foods that people enjoy, having foods that taste good and have the nutritional benefits. And that's how we designed all of our products. So it really makes it easy to live a healthy lifestyle. And I think that's the key to long-term success.
And so tell me a little about what you're doing with Pure Green and what do you plan to do as you open up more and more stores across the country?
So with Pure Green, our mission is to build healthy communities around the globe by connecting people with superfoods. And so the way we're doing that is through the franchise model. So we are partnering up with people that are aligned with our mission, people that share our values and are passionate about health and wellness, and people that want to become an entrepreneur. And we have the system to bring them success. And so they come into our system, they become a franchise partner. We help them get their store open. And from there, you know, we have 100 locations, so 40 open, 40 construction, 20 in site selection. So 100 open by the end of the year. Our goal is to get to 1,000 locations open within the United States. And at that point, we really feel that we're cracking away at our mission and really starting to impact people's lives around the globe.
Interesting. See, we're in this book, The Founder Success Formula. And so as we're talking about the entrepreneurship pursuit that you're doing, what are some of the 3 key principles in the book that you'd like to highlight in terms of entrepreneurial success?
So I wrote the book because it's actually a funny story. So our PR team at the time, we were putting a lot of pressure on them to get us top tier press. And we wanted to be in all the top tier publications that, you know, all the CEOs and all the companies want to be in. And they pushed back and they're like, look, we need an angle. We need a hook. Like, yes, Pure Green is great, but you already have a lot of press on that. They're like, you know what would be really helpful? If you became a best-selling author. I said, oh, really? Okay, challenge accepted. So literally wrote the book in a weekend. And really, I had some existing materials that I just compiled together. And the book is really a manual for anyone who's looking to start their own company, anyone who has a company. And it delivers 13 strategies on how to be successful in business. And the reviews, people who read the book, you know, it's really anyone can benefit from it. I had this guy who just worked in a casino and he read it and changed his life. Like, he's like, I started applying the principles of the book, got promoted at work, and is on a new path. So you don't have to be a CEO. You don't have to be an entrepreneur to benefit from the book, because the strategies in the book are universal. But these are the same strategies that apply towards running a successful business. So I'll give you like a couple of strategies. So people focus too often on the words that they say. People get caught up. They're analyzing their emails. They're rewriting them so many times. And really, one of the most effective forms of communication, especially in person-to-person interaction, is your physiology, is your tonality, how you speak, how you say things. And that's a really important factor that I dive into in the book and give actionable strategies on how to use your physiology more, how to use your tonality more to really get through to people and not get caught up in the details. And there's something called analysis paralysis, which really what it is over-intellectualizing information. What I find is that all too often, people are looking to start a business. People are looking to make a big decision in their life and they suffer from analysis paralysis. They're like, what about this? What about that? Weigh in the pros, weigh in the cons. And guess what? They never take action. So my philosophy has really shifted on ready, fire, aim. Just do it. Just take the action and you can always recalibrate afterwards. But most of the time, what's holding people back is the inability to take action. And so in the book, it's really all about like, stop writing the 100-page business plan before you start a business. Just get started, bootstrap it, and you learn from experience. So all of that, you know, I deliver actionable strategies in the book in order to do that. But that's kind of one of the big overarching principles in the book that I talk about.
Well, it sounds like being in the fitness realm, what we're talking about, it's the same as just do it, right?
Don't overthink it. Just do it.
Exactly. So you've also talked a lot about customer service lessons you've learned working at these fitness centers that I'm sure you're applying to your new venture. What are the three key things you've learned about customer service when it comes to fitness and nutrition that have really opened your eyes up?
I'll tell you one thing, like with customer service, which is one, I don't like the word customer. To me, customer has more of a transactional feel. It's like you're trying to sell something to someone. What we do at Pure Green, like we believe in educating our consumers. And we actually call the people that come through our doors guests, because guest has a totally different feel than customer. And once you start labeling things differently, instead of referring to the people come through the doors if you own a business as customers, you're trying to sell them something, that transactional feel. What if you just change the label and you call them a guest? Totally different feel. How do you treat a guest in your own home? That's the same way you want to treat the guests that come into your business, that come into your store. And so instilling those values and principles in your team members that you're hiring, teaching them to use the proper labels and making these small distinctions are the big distinctions. And so instead of customer service, we call it hospitality. And what the goal is to treat every guest that comes through the doors just like you treat a guest in your own home and deliver warm, friendly, and an engaging guest experience. We can create that. If we can create, how do you leave a memorable experience, a legendary experience for the guest? That's a game changer. I'll tell you, this is something that is really at our core. We like to keep it fun for our franchise partners. So we have a different promotion every month. We have different contests. This month that we're in right now in January, we have a contest going on about cleanses and who can sell the most cleanses, because we like to keep it fun. We have all types of incentives. But a few months back, what we did was we had a hospitality contest because too often leaders are looking at their team for what people are doing wrong. And that's the wrong way to look at it. We like to flip the script on that. We like to look for what people are doing right. And so to incentivize that behavior, and we actually studied Will Gadara, who owns 11 Madison Park, number one restaurant in the world. He wrote a book called Unreasonable Hospitality. So we labeled our contest Unreasonable Hospitality. And we looked to our franchise partners for examples of things where they delivered legendary, them or their team, where they delivered legendary hospitality. We got flooded with so many stories. There were so many examples of legendary hospitality at Pure Green that we actually had two winners. And I mean, the stories are amazing at what they did. But those are just some ways that we get everyone focused on hospitality.
So if you don't mind, share one or two of these legendary stories. I'm really curious because, you know, people talk about these stories, but you're talking about a legendary. So I am curious to see what you're doing to, you know, involve guests and create a legendary experience.
Happy to. So we have one situation where at the store, manager was closing up the store at night. Okay. Someone left their keys. There was BMW keys that were left in the store. So it's a dilemma, right? If you're the manager of a store, well, what do you do? What would happen under normal circumstances? Maybe they would put in a lost and found box and just hope that the guests who left it would come back and remember they left their Pure Green to get it, right? That would be the normal circumstance, not in Pure Green. What ended up happening was the next day, that manager drove to the BMW dealership, took the keys with him and said, hey, went to a sales rep. Can you look up to see which guest left this in our store? That type in the computer, found the guest. The manager then drove to the guest's home and personally delivered the keys to the guest. I mean, that's like really like going above and beyond, right? That's just one example. We had so many others. We had another store where what they did was for delivery orders, they wrote handwritten cards with a special message on there for the guest to a delivery order. Imagine you order Uber Eats, you get your delivery and there's a handwritten card on there with a special message. I mean, and these are just a few examples, but really extraordinary.
So I'm curious, how do you instill this mindset of doing this? And I think what you're actually instilling is a mindset of ownership, right? And how do you do that? That's not an easy thing to do, right?
It's not. And so our approach really is on looking for the good, teaching our principles, teaching our values, and finding the best and brightest people. I find that when you hire according to what your mission is, you track people who share your values. You know, when it comes to hospitality, people either really have it or they don't. And so if you hire people that are in alignment with your mission, share your values, people that for us are passionate about health and wellness, people that are extroverted, that love people, and then you teach them your principles and your systems, they're really going to be set up for success.
Interesting. So I'm curious, you said something earlier, which is, I think, interesting. You're incentivizing with positive behavior and things as opposed to punishing for bad behavior. And what made you shift into that focus? Because not everyone always does that. And I've read studies that it's actually a better way to incentivize than not. But I'm curious, what was the aha moment that led you to do that? And how have you found that to work for you?
It's almost leveraging that Pavlovian theory where just immediate gratification, immediate behavior. We actually do something to incentivize this called lightning strikes. And so what this is, looking for the good, and let's just say we see a team member leave a memorable experience for a guest. Right afterwards, boom, immediately take out $20 bill. Boom, here you go, lightning strikes. Just, that was a legendary experience, boom. Immediately they get that gratification. What's that gonna do? It's gonna reinforce that behavior. And so by having a culture and really building a culture where that's the case, we're looking for the good, that's just going to incentivize that behavior that will become the new standard, that will become the new norm for your business.
Nice. Interesting. So what else have you learned in this journey of nutrition? And some of the aha moments when you're dealing with guests, because I'm sure you've had quite a few of them. And how are you incorporating that on a daily basis as you open up more stores and grow?
So we're constantly learning from guests that come in our stores. We're learning from the team members working in our stores that are behind the line, and also from our franchisees. We have a core value that is continuous improvement. We're constantly looking for better ways to do things. And a lot of the time, some of the best ideas come from our franchise partners. Best ideas come from our team members that are on the line. And here's the distinction, is we take action. If a team member has a great idea, we don't just be like, oh, yeah, that's a great idea, and then nothing happens, which I think is reflective of most organizations. Someone has a great idea, we put it into action immediately. They see it, they feel heard. And I think that's a big part when an organization takes immediate action. They listen to all the members throughout that organization. And when someone has an idea and that's put into effect, they see that, they feel heard, that really just encourages the best and the brightest thinking.
So how much of a role do you tap into guests actually helping you shape a lot of the things you're doing? Obviously, you talk to a lot of your friends and owners, your workers, but how involved are the guests in making some of these strategic decisions for you?
I think it's about just listening to the guests. We're constantly doing surveys. Our guests are very vocal. They'll tell the store managers, they'll tell the team members, they'll tell our franchisees different ideas. When we hear an overwhelming number of requests for certain products, for same ideas coming from different regions, we really do listen to that. And if it's something that we think makes sense and the entire organization will benefit, we put it into action.
I mean, now that you have over 100 locations, what are some of the new challenges and hurdles you're facing now that we're working on overcoming?
I think one of the big things is how do we better support our franchisees? And the way that we're tackling that as we grow is we're hiring new corporate team members who are rock stars to offer better support in a variety of different areas. We just brought on a new director of special partnerships who's creating these unbelievable partnerships with really cool brands, and our franchise partners love that. And we're hiring just amazing new team members to offer better support to all of our franchisees. So really just keeping up with the growth, you know, is certainly is a big challenge. You know, it's also, we're very, myself and our vice president, Michael, very involved with all of our franchisees. They all have our cell numbers, emails, constantly calling us. And so we said, look, for the first 100 franchisees, we're personally involved with you. We'll pick up the phone no matter what time it is for our first 100. After that, as we grow, there'll be additional layers, but we always want to deliver that personalized service and availability to all of our franchise partners, because we do treat them not just as franchisees, but we call them franchise partners and we treat them like actual partners.
Mm-hmm. You go through a lot of people to find the rock stars that you're looking for. I'm curious, have you found like three key ways or characteristics that you look for, personality traits that you look for that you know this person has a high propensity to become a rock star?
You know, it's funny that you say that. I'm reading this book called Who, which is like all about how do you find those rock stars? How do you find a top caliber people? One of the things that I think is really unique to Pure Green and to our business is that because of our mission and because of what we do, we attract a certain caliber of talent, just really people that are passionate about building healthier communities, passionate about health and wellness. What's crazy is they tend to find us. So we get inundated with interest from rock stars who want to join our organization. I think that, you know, we're very fortunate for that to be the case. So our talent pool that we're choosing from, I think, is on a different level. So I think that makes it a little bit easier for us. And really what it comes down to is when we're assessing the quality of the talent, the first thing we look for is, are they aligned with our mission? What's their why? What's their reason? And they have that passion for health and wellness. That's a great sign. And then we're assessing, depending on the role that we're hiring them for, their skill sets and how much value they can add to the organization within that respective area. And so between those two calibers, that's a great start at how we assess.
And we need to ask, I've been doing a lot of hiring as well for some of my stuff. And I've realized there's three things that I really look for now. And that is, are they thinkers, doers, and are they hungry? I can't teach that, right? It's just a matter of assessing if they have that. And I've learned there's one more, actually, also philosophical, meaning that they know that there's more than one way to solve a problem, but they're more focused on the solution than they are the problem. And I've been trying to apply that. It's been actually working pretty interestingly and working well for me. But I have a feeling you're kind of doing that as well, maybe a different way, but I think maybe at the core of it, that's kind of what you're looking for these rock stars.
Yeah, I love your three criteria, how you're looking at it. For us, like, we really want the doers, people that have integrity, that do what they say they're going to do, but also operate with a strong sense of urgency. So if I'm talking to one of our corporate team members and I say, look, I need you to call so-and-so, and I speak to them a couple hours later and hey, did you call so-and-so? Oh no, like I haven't gotten it yet. I haven't gotten to that yet. Like what? Like what have you been doing? We need people on our team that operate where do it now, right? Those are the doers that are the high performers. People that put things off, they get stuck in a daily grind, they don't get to it. Our corporate team, like there's so much going on where if there's something urgent, they don't have that sense of urgency, they're not the right fit for us culturally because they're going to get inundated with so much stuff. If they can't handle the important stuff right away with a high degree of urgency, not the right fit.
Yeah. So tell me, what are the changes that you're seeing in the area of nutrition now? There's a lot of things happening with foods. And I'm curious because a lot of these superfoods, how much of them are delivered in their natural state versus a processed state?
Yeah, great question. So all the superfoods that we use, we look for products that are delivered in their natural state, are the purest. Everything's so carefully curated, right? We make sure that all the superfoods that we're using, we want to know where it comes from. We want to see all the credentials that it's organic. We want to see the heavy metal test to make sure there's no heavy metals in there. I mean, it's a very high degree of scrutiny that we assess every single ingredient that we use. So we have extremely high standards for all the ingredients that we use.
So with your emphasis and focus on nutrition, would you say if you had to pick one, are you more interested in lifespan or health span?
Both, for sure. I think we're looking for superfoods that are extremely high nutritionally. So vitamins, minerals, live enzymes. When we formulate the products, like we want products that are designed to give people energy, that fuel performance. You know, with our cold pressed juice, for example, we actually work with over 70 professional sports teams, 30 college teams, even SpaceX, because they're all looking for pre-post-workout recovery. They're looking to enhance their physical performance. And I think everyone is really looking for energy. Everyone wants to feel good, right? Like there's a reason where lunchtime, people are going out, they're having the processed foods, they come back and they want to go to sleep. And they're moving slow and they're zapped of energy. They just can't wait to get home. It has a lot to do with nutrition, what people are fueling themselves with. So we design all of our products to be focused on high performance nutrition, which is not just on the athletic field. It's how you feel, the energy that you have, because if you're energized, you're going to be better at whatever you do.
Sure. So how many products are you offering now under Pure Green?
We have 12 different superfood smoothies. 6 different acai bowls and pitaya bowls, 12 different SKUs of cold pressed juice, 6 different SKUs of shots. And most of our stores have superfood oatmeal. So 4 different superfood oatmeal bowls. And some of them have 6 superfood toasts to choose from. The reason people are coming to our stores is really because of the superfood smoothies and the acai bowls. I mean, so rich and chock full of nutrition. And people just feel amazing after they have it. And that's what keeps them coming back. I mean, we have people come in every day, twice a day in some cases, because of how it makes them feel, the energy and the drive it gives them to going out there and just crushing it.
So what do you see happening in the future of superfoods? Where do you see things headed?
So, you know, there's always different new superfoods coming out to the market. Here's the thing. We don't jump on it. We look for trends. We look for superfoods that are there for longevity. We look for superfoods that is not a fad. And there has to be a lot of science. So we have a nutritional advisory board with 4 top tier dietitians, 3 from professional sports teams, 1 for the US military. They back up all of our science with peer reviewed scientific literature references. And so for us to use a superfood ingredient, there has to be the science that backs it up. And it also has to be proven in the market, right? We don't want to be the first one where it's some new exotic superfood that's unproven. Even if it's proven, the science backs it up, we don't want to be the first one to educate the market. That's extremely expensive. It could be hundreds of millions of dollars to educate the entire population on the benefits of a new product. So we want to use products that are proven, people already know about them, and formulate them in such a way that tastes amazing and they're getting the highest nutrition.
Yeah, because I'm curious, you know, a lot of things, there's lots of new superfoods all the time coming out now. I'm wondering, do you think it's becoming a bit overused? And is there going to be another definition that we're going to be going to superfoods to draw that distinction? Because after a while, if everything becomes a superfood, it's just getting diluted. And is there an actual official definition of what a superfood is?
Look, I think you're right. With anything, terms get overused. The media sensationalizes it. Anything becomes a superfood and then it's not, right? Our definition of a superfood is an ingredient that has a disproportionate amount of nutrients. Nutrients are off the chart, right? I'll give you an example. Acai, right? Acai is a Brazilian superfood that is extremely high in antioxidants. And there's so much science behind it. It's here to stay. It's not going away. And we formulate it in such a way that it tastes amazing. And we're doing it differently than any other competitor. We're handcrafting our acai bowls, and it's a lot of labor. It's a lot of elbow grease. You go to anywhere else, you go to your local mom and pop juice bar, you see them scooping it out of a bucket and putting it into the bowl. That's full of stabilizers, emulsifiers, all kinds of gunk. You don't want that stuff. You want it handcrafted. It's in that sorbet form. It's going to be super high in sugar, added stabilizers. You don't want any of that. So you want it handcrafted. You want to see them making it. And so when you take time and you do it right and you deliver a superior product, that's when you feel that difference.
Interesting. So what do you see for you in the future? What's your next challenge or what's on the horizon for you? You're obviously quite busy doing a lot, but I can tell you're one of those types that's always kind of looking to the next thing as well. So what's on the horizon for you?
For us right now, it's just about taking Pure Green to the world. I mean, I'm excited to, after we really develop the United States with Pure Green, move it internationally, going into other countries and doing it all over again. That's really what's driving me, taking Pure Green to the world.
Nice. So if you could have lunch or dinner with anyone in your industry, who would it be and why? Or any industry, let's open it up.
Yeah, I mean, any industry, a guy that I tell you that really fascinates me is Elon Musk. He's just such an innovator. I mean, the ultimate entrepreneur, taking so much risk, brilliant, and just crushing it on so many different levels and so many different companies. I am fascinated by what he does, what's inside his brain. I would love to sit down with him and really get to the aha moment with him.
Yeah, I'm sure he's had tremendous aha moments with all the different industries he's involved with, and not just being involved, but really taking them to the A level, right? So
that's right.
Yeah, that's cool. Well, Ross, it's been a pleasure talking to you. Thank you for joining me on Getting to AHA. And I look forward to seeing your franchise model doing well and seeing you go international as well. That'd be great.
Thanks so much for having me on.
Thanks a lot.
Getting to AHA was brought to you by iResearch. To find out more about us, head to iResearch.com. And make sure to search for Getting to AHA in Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and anywhere else podcasts are found. And don't forget to click follow to ensure you don't miss any future episodes. Thank you for listening.